Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 20th of October. We decided to do our open line, the first hour of the program today, which means you can call in with your suggestions of guests you'd like to hear during the 9 to 11 o'clock hours here on the Ideas Network. So any suggestions you'd like to make. We've been doing a very, very long series on healthcare. There may be some aspects of healthcare in some countries that you would like us to examine. So call with those suggestions. Great, probably nonfiction that you've read that we haven't had a chance to interview the authors, ideas that we haven't covered at all, ideas that you found intriguing that you'd like to hear a little bit more about. Our phone lines are open for you. We have a couple lines open right now, and the number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We do have email addresses, but because this is an open line devoted mostly to your calling in, we'll give you the addresses of how you can, if you can't get to a phone this hour, how you can always use the email addresses to give us suggestions for shows all the time. All right, so let's go right to our phones. We start with Peter from Milwaukee. Hello, Peter. Hello, Peter. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi, Peter. Go right ahead.
Actually, I'm from Milwaukee, and my suggestion is to do something on education, some on the lighter side of education. There's so much about the negatives that are going on right now. I'm thinking about humor education and how to use that to help improve the school.
Humor on the part of teachers, you mean? Humorous teachers?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I part of the reason I'm calling is because I wrote a book on that, on laughing and learning, an alternative to shut up and listen. But I did it because there's so much negative in education. I wanted to do some research on how to use humor and look at the bright side of education.
All right. Well, maybe you should get in touch with us and let us know about your book.
Okay, I'll be happy to do that.
All right, Peter. Thanks very much for your call. People do like to have humorous teachers. There's no doubt about that. People like to have humor in their lives. There's no doubt about that. So, humor in education, all right, something we haven't done before. Let's go next to John from South Milwaukee. Hello, John.
Hi. I wanted to look into autoimmune therapies.
Okay. Do you have your radio up or? John?
I do not.
Okay, we got a problem with our phones. We can hear you. Autoimmune therapy.
Okay, hookworm is the treatment they're thinking of using. They've done some different things across the country on hookworm across the world. Let's see, in England and Australia. I got a couple. I'll just give you a doctor. Dr. David Pitchard out of Nottingham is interesting. He's done some base work studies on it. And there's also this character down in California or Arizona called Jasper Lawrence. And he infected himself, and he's now opening a clinic to help other people get this. Supposedly, the hookworms create, your body starts fighting them, and that builds its, you know, the autoimmune system is, it attacks itself. So instead of attacking itself, it starts attacking the hookworms and people's asthma, people's other diseases go away. So just an idea.
It sounds kind of weird to me.
It is. It's incredibly weird.
Yeah.
It's just being studied out. But when you got somebody with some of these diseases, it's an idea, mm-hmm. you know. And it would be kind of neat to hear from the actual doctors that are talking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, John. Thanks very much for your call. Amy from Eau Claire is next. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a doctor of natural medicine in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I would absolutely love to see someone like myself or in this field talk about preventative medicine. I'm a specialty in natural oncology and immune system building, and I would just love to see some more on this topic.
Okay, Amy. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go next to Anne from La Crosse. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
My suggestion, since you mentioned authors, I think it would be great. There's a Hmong American author named Kaukalia Yang who wrote a memoir about her family's journey from refugee camps in Thailand to immigrating as refugees to the Midwest. And it's a lot about adapting to American culture and learning language. It's a really beautiful book, and she's a wonderful speaker.
What is her name, please?
Her name is Kaukalia Yang. It's K-A-O-K-A...
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, K-A-O-K-A-L-I-A, and her last name is Y-A-N-G.
Y-A-N-G. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. It's an open line for the month of October. And we go to Karen next from Seneca. Hi, Karen. Go ahead, Karen.
Yes. I would like to hear a debate or discussion on a possible H1N1 virus outbreak when emergency rooms had to determine whom first to treat.
Okay. Okay, Karen.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for the call. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number to call. Open line for the month of October. Brad from Green Bay is next. Hi, Brad.
Hi. I would like to make a recommendation on it.
Yeah, just Hi. Go ahead. Yeah, we can hear you.
I'd like to make a recommendation on a show regarding the open source software movement.
The open source software movement. Okay,
yes.
Tell me what that is, Brad.
That's a movement amongst programmers all over the world where they design software, for example, Linux, to allow people all over the world to have free software.
Okay.
And it's also a movement that's based out of the free software movement, which started in the 60s and 70s.
Okay. Okay, Brad, thanks so much for your call. Let's go next to Melissa from Oshkosh. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling to have you see if you could possibly get Michael Pollan on the air. He's the author of The Omnivore's Dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a book about different food industries in America and where we get our food sources from, the industrial side and the local side and everything like that, and he's super, super interesting.
Yeah, we've had him on several times, not for maybe a month or so, so we'd be happy to track him down again.
Cool, sounds good, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for your call. It's an open line for the month of October, the second hour of our show. Many of you are listening to us from small towns in Wisconsin and Iowa and Minnesota and Illinois. We'll be talking with the authors of Hollowing Out the Middle, The Rural Brain Drain and What It Means for America. They went to a town fictitiously called Ellis in northeast Iowa, and did an extensive study of what happens to people when they are verging on adulthood. Those who stay in the small town, what options are open to them, those who are achievers and go on to higher education, those who go to community college in that particular area, and how that ultimately will determine whether or not a small town survives or not. It's a very interesting book, and I'm sure that many of you have stories about the small towns in which you live. So join us for that conversation, hour number two of our show. This hour, it is a open line, 800-486-8655. Richard is our next caller. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good. You know, in recent months, there have been a lot of shows saying how we could all save the planet if we quit eating meat. And I'd like to hear the other side of that presented. I'm willing to offer myself up as a guest. Be happy to give someone my credentials if you're interested.
What are your credentials other than being a meat eater?
Well, 30 years in livestock production. Oh. I'm the production coordinator for the Wisconsin Grass-Fed Beef Cooperative.
Oh.
And I've been a feed store operator.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Richard, if you want to get in touch with us, that would be great.
Okay, and how would I do this?
Well, why don't you send Rhonda an email? It's Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org.
Well, that's not going to happen. Can we do, what are the next alternatives?
I'm sorry?
We're not going to do email. How about phone or a snail mail?
Oh, yeah, you can send us some. It'd be fine. It's fun to get letters. Our address is 310 Wisconsin Avenue.
Okay.
It's suite 750E.
Okay.
Milwaukee, the zip is 53202.
Milwaukee, 53202. 202.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Richard.
Right.
Okay. Let's go next to... Maddie from Waupaca. Hi, Maddie.
Hi. Yes, I would like a show on hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatments as used by alternative doctors.
What's the purpose of this? What do they do? Hyperbaric oxygen treatment.
They do it for cerebral palsy, autism, a number of different conditions, and it would... the regular doctors don't do it, but the alternative doctors use it. And it also is used for wound healing by the hospital, for wound healing for diabetics that have wounds that won't heal.
Hmm. Okay, Maddie. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Ray from Milwaukee, hello.
Yes, I recently saw a movie called America, Freedom to Fascism, and in this movie, yes, I'm here.
Yeah, we're just having an echo problem with our phones just keep talking.
Okay, in the movie, a special agent for the IRS named Joe Bannister had fought the IRS on the premise that there is no law that states American citizens have to file or pay taxes, and he won his case in court and is at this time not filing and not paying his taxes.
Uh-huh. And you think we should all do that?
Well, I don't know, but maybe we should look into, is there a law on the books, and why won't the U.S. government bring it into court if there is a law on the books?
There's law on the books, what, about...
Right. How about paying your taxes or filing if you're an American citizen for your labor?
Uh-huh. All right. Thanks, Ray, very much for the call. We got to take a break here. We're just having problems with our phones again, and it needs to be fixed. So here's the phone number. We hope that the echo will be cleared up after we break here. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. And you can always send emails, too, and those addresses, if you'd like to send one to Rhonda, it's Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org, and mine is Dunn-K, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program, the authors of Hollowing Out the Middle, The Rural Brain Drain, and What It Means for America. Let's go back to phone calls now at 800-486-8655. Julia from Oshkosh is next. Hi, Julia.
Yes. Yes, hi. I was wondering if you could find somebody, an expert or a researcher, who has done work on the benefits of bilingual education. The little I know about bilingual education is that research shows that the sooner the better for retention. And it would be great to have somebody talk about that.
Okay. Have you been the product of bilingual education?
I'm sorry, excuse me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We have an echo here today, which is persistent. Have you had bilingual education yourself?
Yes, I have. And I'm trying to raise my child in two languages.
And what languages do you speak?
Spanish and English.
Ah, that's great. And I understand that if you learn it at a young age, it's much easier, isn't it?
Yeah. Some some books that I've read said, you know, 0 to 5 is a critical window. And then if you can't catch it at that time, the sooner the better. And if you look at what our schools are able to offer for whatever reason, it's much later in middle school or early in high school. And, you know, with budget cuts, programs are being cut, and bilingual education is one of those that are being cut.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that would be a good show for us to do. We haven't done one of those in a long time. Good idea.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Julia. I'm just going to ask you, when you call in today, we can hear you just fine. So just if you don't get distracted by an echo that you're hearing, just keep talking and we'll be fine. 800-486-8655. Keith is next from Portage. Hi, Keith.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
I'd like to make a suggestion that in the healthcare debate that you interview Dr. Ron Paul.
Okay. And what are his thoughts on healthcare?
Well, he's written a book called, oh boy, now I'm starting to forget it, but it's he wrote a book and he gave his take on the healthcare system and how to remedy it.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. Let's go next to Tom from Sussex. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I read an article, and I was just fascinating, by James Howard Kunstler, K-U-N-S-T-L-E-R-S, and the title was The Long Emergency, Surviving the Converging Catastrophes of the 21st Century. It was from the Atlantic Monthly.
Okay.
And it was just a fascinating article. It was kind of a really different take on what has brought us to where not only the United States but the world is, and how the solutions are not going to be easy to fix. And I just found the articles, you know, scary but very informative, and it was just a little different approach. And you might want to take a look at it and see if you consider having him on.
Okay, it's in the current issue of the Atlantic.
Well, I read the article in a magazine called The Sun, which I was not familiar with, but I think originally it was in the Atlantic Monthly Press. But it's James Howard Kunstler.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks so much for the call. Beth is next from Stoughton. Hi, Beth.
Hi. How are you?
All right, Beth. How are you?
I am good. I am interested in hearing more about the gentleman who wrote an expose for the Time magazine about the state of the city of Detroit. One of the biggest things about the city of Detroit is there are no grocery stores in the city of Detroit, and I was wondering about that specific topic and how many other cities in the country do not have ample grocery stores to serve their citizens.
Okay. Yeah, I think I saw some time ago a piece on the Nightly News that looked at delivery on the streets of groceries because there weren't any in Detroit. So they were making, they started a business where, you know, they would deliver. They'd be on this corner at a certain time and that corner at another time. And it made you wonder why there weren't any grocery stores. I think that's a really interesting program idea, with the lack of grocery stores that don't charge an arm and a leg in our central cities.
Right. Or basically they have to go to, you know, convenience stores where there's
right.
No produce.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a good idea. Thanks, Beth.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Michael from Appleton, hi.
Hi, good morning. Just wanted to suggest a show on the ethics of Photoshop and photo manipulation. I'm a professional photojournalist in the Green Bay, Appleton area, and, you know, so often people think that, you know, we can change a ton of stuff with our photos that we publish in the newspaper or whatever, and that's just not the case. We have to adhere to a pretty strict rules about what we do to our photos.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call. Let's go to Terry from Milwaukee. Hello, Terry.
Hi, I have two suggestions. My first suggestion is Tom Vanderbilt, the author of Traffic, Why We Drive the Way We Do and What It Says About Us.
Okay.
And my second suggestion is Jeff Mapes, Pedaling Revolution, in light of the fact that bicycle commuting in Milwaukee has nearly doubled in the last few years.
Has it really? Huh. All right. Those are interesting suggestions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Matt from Lake Geneva. Hi.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear Marty Nemko. He's an education critic that's written extensively about higher education and some of the big problems he sees with higher education. One of his articles was entitled America's Most Overrated Product, Higher Education. He's got a PhD credentials from the University of California at Berkeley in education. He's written 500-plus articles when he's contributing editor for U.S. News and World Report, and he's got a really good alternative view that I think we need to hear about higher education. And he has a website in his name called MartyNemko.com, N-E-M-K-O. And one last thing, John Taylor Gatto, you did such a great interview with him during the pledge drive in spring, and you have such a good rapport with him. And he's such an interesting fellow. I'd like to hear John Taylor Gatto again, too.
Okay. Thanks very much, Matt, for your call.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Bye. Let's go to Carla from Green Bay. Hi, Carla.
Hello. I would very much like to hear a program about COLA, the cost of living adjustment, how it is formed, who makes those decisions, what items go into it, and how it can be changed.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Carla.
Thank you.
Mike from Jefferson. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to hear a show on the state of Wisconsin's budget and the budgetary process and the various ways over the last decade or so that we've either balanced the budget or have not balanced the budget.
Okay. Okay, Mike.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks for your call. Dave from Madison. Hi.
Hello. I have two questions that I've not heard clarified on the health care reform on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Okay.
And I don't have any names of persons to suggest, but if you could find experts who could talk about this. The first of all is I'd like a clear explanation of the difference between adopting it by reconciliation or adopting it by the 60 votes in the Senate.
Okay.
And what the pros and cons of either option is.
Okay.
And the second is, a while back, there was an hour-long show on health co-ops and how they worked. It was quite informative, but they didn't really talk about what it meant to have a co-op as a option to the public option, as another choice. It seems to me it's comparing apples and oranges because we already have health care co-ops. So I would like someone to zero in on why Senator Conrad can't even suggest the co-ops as a choice instead of the public option, and why how that would work or how they would change the idea of a co-op.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very
much. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for your call. Mm-hmm. Carolyn is next from Oconomowoc. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Kathleen. I would like to suggest Dr. Dennis Mackey.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
I would like to suggest Dr. Dennis Mackey.
Mm-hmm.
He's head of infectious disease at the University of Wisconsin Medical School.
Okay.
He knows more about H1N1 virus than anyone I've ever heard talk. That's what he does. He studied it. He was in Australia looking at how they've dealt with the disease.
Okay.
There's so much misinformation out there that it's almost frightening how people are making a big deal out of taking virus. I'm sorry, the shot.
Yeah, the vaccine.
The vaccine, yes. And so I just think that now with so many children getting sick, that having him on the program would be wonderful.
Okay. It's a very good idea. Thanks,
his
Carolyn.
His name is spelled M-A-K-I.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. I never would have thought that. M-A-K-I.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
800-486-8655 is our number, and we go next to Kelly from Columbus. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You were talking about the health care reform that's attempting to go on. I'd like to see if you could interview actual health care workers like nurses or public health people that are out on the front lines doing the work and what their ideas would be.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be good to do a show. We've talked with some public health workers, but it would be good to talk to nurses about this. We're having problems with phones here, but it would be a good idea to talk to nurses about this. So we are doing a continuing series on healthcare. We've looked at many other countries. We're not doing it specifically on Tuesdays anymore because there are some guests like this week's guest. Well, we're doing it twice this week. Matt Taibbi was with us yesterday, who wrote a piece in Rolling Stone, and we're going to have a guest on Thursday at 9 o'clock who will look at the healthcare system in Italy. It's been very informative to go to different countries to find out how they deal with Italy, or they deal with healthcare, and Thursday it will be Italy. But I like this idea of talking to nurses. 800-486-8655 is our number, and we're doing an open line for the month of October. We go next to Steve from Oxford. Hi, Steve. Hi, Steve. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Sorry. Go right.
Having problems with your phones.
I know we are. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Go ahead, Steve. We can hear you fine.
Okay. I'd like to see an interview with a lady by the name of Trudy Schuett. She's an author of Friends to the End, which is a novel about domestic violence, and she also writes a column about it at the National Domestic Violence Examiner.
National Domestic Violence
Examiner.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much for your call.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Beverly next from Milwaukee. Hi, Beverly.
Hi. I have two things. I would like to have a show on money from lobbyists and how we can find out, is it public knowledge who gets money from whom in the Congress and in the Senate?
Okay.
And how the average person can find out who gets what money and from whom, and is it all in campaign contributions, or is it in other perks, or is it over the table or under the table?
Okay. What's the organization that keeps track of that? There is somebody who keeps track of that pretty carefully, and I'm just trying to remember who it is.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything on the internet, and I don't know. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right place.
Right. Okay, we'll track this down. That would
and
be good.
There's another thing I'd like to add on, the guy that called before about James Howard Kunstler. He has a book called The Long Emergency.
Okay.
And it's a really fascinating, scary read. I read it last year, and it's like spooky.
The Long...
He wrote it several years ago, but some of the things that have happened since he wrote it have actually almost come true. So I would really like to see him on your show.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Fritz from Oshkosh. Hi.
Yes, hello. I'd like to suggest having a representative of the DNR on the show to answer questions about severe overpopulation of bear in our state and the reason it takes 10 years to get licenses to harvest them.
It takes 10 years?
It takes up to 10 years. It's a lottery system. It depends on your section that you hunt, but yeah, it's a pretty lengthy process, and we've got a pretty severe overpopulation in northern Wisconsin, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Fritz.
All right.
All right, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Alan is next from Madison. Hi, Alan.
Yes, hi. I have a question and then a request. I would like to hear Noam Chomsky on your program, on one of the political programs, and I'm curious as to why I never, or at least I can't recall, ever hearing him on your program.
He's very hard to book, is part of the reason. It's very hard to get him. We've had him on before, and other shows have as well. So,
all right. Well, thanks.
All right. Yeah. Thanks very much for your call. Scott from Whitewater. Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My suggestion is that we talk or bring on someone to talk about gifted or high ability education in the state of Wisconsin. We talk so much about students who are falling behind, and that's certainly valuable, but I'd also like to see some dialogue maybe about those students that need an extra challenge in the classroom and maybe who are being left behind.
Okay. Do you have a suggestion of a guest?
Well, there's a couple different people at the state. There's the associate dean at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater is interested in gifted education. She's also runs a part of the licensure program, and there's also a faculty member, I believe, at UW Stevens Point named Christine Gould.
Okay.
G-O-U-L-D, who teaches some courses in it as well.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. We go next to Jeannie from Salem. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. I'd like to suggest a program on the legalization of medical marijuana. I understand there's some legislation moving through the state right now and that President Obama has made some changes to the federal enforcement regulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened Sunday, right? Or Saturday, Monday? Yeah, just recently. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. Daniel from Rice Lake. Hi.
Hello. Sorry I don't remember his name. He was the guest on last weekend's People's Pharmacy. The subject was premonition, which I believe everyone experiences. It was an extremely interesting program.
Premonitions?
Yeah, premonition.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Barbara from Eau Claire. Hi, Barbara.
Good morning. I would like to hear a program on the state of the Wisconsin prisons and the rehabilitation and aftercare upon release.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't done anything on prisons in a long time.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks so much for your call. A couple lines. One line is open. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Carl from Peshtigo is next. Hi, Carl.
Good morning, Kathleen. I just love these open line programs. You get to hear so much of what other people would like to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got one. How well we like to lie. And with malicious intent, especially with the judicial system that can use it for extortion.
Why we like to lie.
Exactly. There's people out there that go out and do creative lying, and they just get the notoriety. And we'll use one example is the healthcare industry in regards to the insurance company. They're doing a lot of creative lying.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get more insight why people are so enthused creative lying. And then we get into lying with malicious intent. And that'll be in regards to lawyers for extortion.
Okay. Thanks, Carl.
You bet. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye. Dr. Brian from Milwaukee. Hi, Dr. Brian.
Well, good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
We met at the healthcare conference last month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to suggest that we have a show on the chiropractic alternative as a healthcare reform. In other words, we provide care just the way that medics do in terms of diagnostics. It's just that we have a different treatment paradigm. And I'd like to think that there's potential, enough reasonable people will be listening, and perhaps we can add a component to this issue that will save not only dollars but lives. Now, I've taught complementary alternative medicine at Marquette. I'd be happy to help. But if not, you're welcome to call, for instance, the Wisconsin Chiropractic Association. Or if I may suggest, there's a wonderful gentleman in Arizona. His name is Alan Immerman, and he is the president and executive director of the Arizona Chiropractic Society, and he's been working hard on this issue.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. So, yeah, thanks, Dr. Brian. You may want to get in touch with us about all of this.
And how would I do that, please?
Well, let me give you our email addresses once again. Rhonda's in mine, fanning at WPR.org. Mine is dunk at WPR.org.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Brian.
Bye.
Bye. Claire from Baraboo. Hi.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller, and this is so exciting. And I've really been enjoying your show.
Good.
As I said to the gentleman that picks up the phone for you, your producer, I assume, I'm going with a much lighter topic than everybody else.
That's all right.
And it's kind of short notice, too, but I would love to hear a program or programs about the paranormal, ghosts, with Halloween coming up. That would be a fun topic to talk about with an expert. We have a Ghostbuster coming to Baraboo next week to visit a haunted tavern in town that used to be a brothel by the railroad station.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to expect, but it's very exciting. I can't wait to see this event.
What's the Ghostbuster going to do, Claire?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what equipment or procedures he uses, but he's going to try and conjure up these ghosts that people keep insisting exist in this old building.
Hmm. All right. Well, let us know what happens.
Okay.
All right.
I will.
Thanks, Claire.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Diane from Birchwood. Hi.
Hi. I have three ideas. The first one, I think, falls into the category of hard to book, but it's Thomas Friedman. He just seems to be a fascinating guest whenever you hear him on shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is I do talks with a lot of companies on identity theft and how people need to protect themselves. And it seems that with all the talk about it, you'd think people would be more knowledgeable, but when I do these presentations, people are very naive about a lot of the different ways that it happens.
Yeah, I'm sorry, your phone has just sort of gone into nowhere here, but we did get the Thomas Friedman, and it's easiest to book him when he has a new book out, but we can try to get him during a time when he doesn't have a book out as well. Thanks, Diane, very much for the call. Sasha is next from Burnham Wood. Hi, Sasha.
Hello. My suggestion was Wisconsin wildlife and how everyday human life affects it.
Everyday human life, what? Affects
like,
wildlife?
It affects wildlife, correct.
Okay.
It's from anywhere from energy to how we use energy, to cutting down trees, whatever, and how we use that and wasting and, our natural resources, things like that.
Okay. Thanks very much for your suggestion. More phone calls in a moment. It's our open line for the month of October. And here's how you reach us. 800-486-8655. Our phone problem has been fixed here, it sounds like. So that's good. Back to you in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program this Tuesday, the authors of Hollowing Out the Middle, The Rural Brain Drain and What It Means for America. We go back to phone calls. Let's go to Jim from Footville. Hi, Jim.
Yes, you promised you were going to have some programs on our miasmic economic system and what's causing all the problems here with all the greed and the avarice and the predictions that things are never going to go back to so-called normal again. And there's no programs on capitalism whatsoever, and that is the big cause of all our problems out here, and the people seem to be pretty much ignorant to economics in this country, and we need to have many, many more programs about the damage that capitalism has caused.
Okay, thanks, Jim, very much for your call. Jeannie is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Oh, my. Okay. I am a first-time caller, and I would love to see if you would be able to get Dr. Gerald Schroeder on your show. He has a PhD from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and he is also a Hebrew scholar. He has written many books, Genesis and the Big Bang, The Science of God, The Hidden Face of God, and they've been published in more than 7 languages around the world. His specialty is explaining how science, real hard science, Einstein science, and the Old Testament absolutely dovetail together in language that people can understand. It's an area that I've been a little interested in, and when Dawkins, I don't know how many people are familiar with Dawkins, but he is someone that speaks about the Bible being purely myth. When he speaks, there are lots of books written on this topic, and a lot of them are not, they're well-intentioned, but they don't have solid science behind them. When he's asked, are you familiar with Schroeder's work, he just says, yes, but he's never said anything that I've ever heard critical about it, and I think it's because it's so solid. Now, Dr. Schroeder is based in Israel, but he's going to be coming through the United States in November, and he's going to be in the Midwest like the first or second week in November. So I think it would be totally awesome if you would be able to get him on your program. Although he's based in Israel, he did go through the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. His English is impeccable. He was featured on the Ben Stein movie Expelled, I think, that was out recently. And that's my suggestion.
All right. If you want to send us more information about a way to contact him or his Midwest visit, we'd like to hear that.
Could I have, how do I let you know about that?
Do you have access to email?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you send it to Rhonda Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G.
Could you spell that again, please?
F-A-N-N-I-N-G at WPR.org.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks so much for your call. Bye. We go next to Greg from Janesville. Hi, Greg.
Hi. My suggestion is Dr. Matt Tedesco. He's a professor at Beloit College in philosophy. And it's kind of along the lines of the lying show topic. He did a paper on the ethics of practical joking. And I think that would be really interesting to have him on talking about what's right and what's wrong about practical jokes.
He wrote a paper on that?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, actually. He does a lot in moral philosophy, so.
Huh. So,
yeah.
So tell me just a little bit, where does he come down on all of this, that it's not an ethical thing to do, a practical joke?
I think he comes down where if it harms a person, it's generally leaning towards the wrong end of morality.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the shows on TV now, they'll put people in bad situations and then kind of get everyone in America to laugh at them, and I think that he disagrees with that.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that sounds like it might be interesting.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Jackie is next. Hi, Jackie.
Good morning. I love this program. I'm just so impressed by the variety of ideas that people
have
variety. Around the state.
We have variety.
Yeah, it certainly is. My idea is to interview Margaret Jankowski of the Sewing Machine Project. Margaret started this project sort of by mistake, if you like, when she read an article about a woman having her sewing machine washed away in the Indonesian tsunami 4 or 5 Christmases ago. And so she put a sign out, like, she worked in a sewing shop and put a sign out saying, could anybody donate a sewing machine that she could send to this woman? And she got 75 sewing machines. 4.5 years later, she sent over 600 sewing machines to women in disaster situations in war zones, and she sent like 500 to Katrina victims. She started sewing classes and programs. She's built a partnership with Bernina, one of the global sewing machine manufacturers. She's done all these amazing things from her house in Monona with very little help and very little funding. And it's just an extraordinarily uplifting effort and inspiring to see what one woman who says, there's a problem, I should do something about it, not someone should do something about it.
Yes.
And then how she's made it endure. And I think it would be just wonderful to listen to what drives her, what she's done, and all of that. So it's just a marvelous story of one woman who said, I should do something about that.
Yeah. Could we find out about the project if we went to the web? Is it there?
Yeah, she has a website, thesewingmachineproject.org.
Okay.
In fact, if you put any of the .coms or .nets, I think you'll get her. But, she's right here in Monona, and she's very articulate. She's been on radio around the country, but I've never heard her on the radio right here in Wisconsin, which, you know, she's a local gal doing a great thing around the world. And
exactly. You've got to recognize people in your own backyard.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jackie.
Bye.
Bye. We go next to Mark from Milwaukee. Hello, Mark.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling. I think it would be interesting to hear a program on aging-in-place design, which is basically a design philosophy, and it's a way to design your home so that you kind of prolong being able to stay in your home and having your home age with you, so that as you get older, it's easy to maneuver around it. It's easy to use different things in it, and you kind of prolong having to move into a nursing home. So I think as the aging baby boomer generation kind of grows older, it's kind of a, would be an interesting program to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And actually a specific designer that's really good in this topic is a designer, Cynthia Leibrock. And I believe she's based out of Colorado, but she's really focuses on this topic.
How do you spell her last name? Do you know?
Yeah, I believe it's Leibrock.
Okay.
And she has a website, which is agingbeautifully.org.
Agingbeautifully.org.
Yes.
Great. Okay, Mark, that's interesting. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Victor from Milwaukee. Hello, Victor.
Good morning. I'm going to add a little lightness to the subject, too, because, you know, we talk about the gloom and doom of economics and politics. Sometimes you have to have a little fun out there. I like your earlier caller for Halloween and Greg's comment. With me, I like to have a guest on that talks about winter sports outings here in Wisconsin. You got ski resorts, tobogganing, ice skating, fishing, all of that. You know, let's get out and have fun instead of being behind a laptop or listening to news all day.
Let's go have fun in the winter. Okay. I like that idea, Victor, because I'm starting to dread winter.
I'm going to learn how to ski and get out there and do some cross-country skiing.
That's good.
And keep in shape, too.
Yeah, cross-country is a good thing. I haven't done it for a while, but it's really fun.
All right.
All right, Victor. Thank you.
Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Nancy is next from Brighton. Hi, Nancy.
Yes, hi. I would like to know what the protocol is for manufacturer and drug companies and how they set their prices. My son was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, and he was prescribed a medication that was used all over the world for dystonia. And when it was in the FDA trials, the final trials, it was at $265 a month we were paying through the Canada Drug Service.
Ooh.
When it went to the fast track, it went up to $800
Ooh.
A month. And then when it was finally approved in this country, they were charging $8,671 for a 30-day supply for this medication.
Oh, my goodness.
And I would just like to get some answers. And I've emailed our senators, and I've emailed President Obama, as to, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one that's going through this, why and how can people sleep at night charging a 30-day supply for $8,600 when we know when they were charging us $265 for a 30-day supply, they were still making a profit on this.
Do you have insurance that covers this?
Well, actually, they actually investigated our insurance company, and the doctor was able to get it through under compassionate use. And when we first got the bill for it, we thought, oh, my God, this must be for the year, and we would be out of our limits for medications, for prescription drugs. And then we found out our insurance company does not have a limit for prescription drugs. So basically what I'm thinking is they can charge whatever they want for it.
Oh, my. That would be a very...
And you and I know we're all paying for this. My husband and I actually thought, well, maybe we should just go back to paying the $400 and $800 that we were paying. We went all over the world to find it for cheaper, and Canada was the cheapest at first, and actually when they went up to $800, we just could not afford that a month.
No, of course not.
And so then we researched it and found it, and then Homeland Security was confiscating it, so we were out of the medication and the $800. And we've finally found it in Australia and New Zealand for $400, but $8,600. I'd like some answers as to
What's the name of the drug?
The name of the drug is tetrabenazine.
Tetrabenazine.
And it's used for dystonia movements. My son has cerebral palsy with dystonic movements as well. And it's something he can't, I mean, it's a dramatic difference in his productivity and quality of life is something, well, we could not tell him no, he couldn't have it anymore.
Well, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would be a very good show.
I'd like to know what the protocols
digging.
And how they set these prices.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for the call. That's about all the time we'll have. So if you didn't get your call in, and I know we have three of you on hold, please send us an email, and our addresses are Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. You can send it to me as well, Dunkay at WPR.org. If you want another address, you can send one to Rob, Robert.Schroeder, S-C-H-R-O-E-D-E-R, at WPR.org. And we'll be on the case. Thanks, everybody. We do these once a month to get suggestions. I'm sorry we had phone problems. There was something about the board here, but we got it fixed, which is great. So we can continue with our phone calls the second hour of the program. Thanks to Rob Schroeder for answering your many phone calls, and thanks for calling, everybody. Second hour, we'll look at, and I'm interested in hearing from people in small towns. Those of you who are listening in small towns that could tell us whether or not they're on the edge of collapse. So that's coming up following the news.